Certainly. So my name is Matthew Tyra, and I am the Director of Public Health and Chief Medical Officer to the Isle of Man Government.
Brilliant. And so talking today about meningitis. Now, obviously, there's been an outbreak over in Kent, isolated really around the University of Kent, and it's meningitis B. It's kind of emerged now. Can you tell me a little bit about meningitis, I suppose? First of all, the signs and symptoms of it, I guess.
So just to start with, meningitis is something which can be a very serious infection. It causes inflammation of the membranes that line the brain and spinal cord. It can be caused by both viruses and bacteria, but when people are talking about meningitis A, B, or any of the other letters, that tends to be the bacterial form of meningitis. And that's the one that we worry about a bit more, because it can cause quite severe illness, especially if it causes an infection of the blood, which is when we would see things like the rash and that sort of thing. So the symptoms of meningitis more generally are things that you might expect if you've got inflammation going on inside the head. So a severe headache, a stiff neck, sensitivity to bright lights, but then some of the things that you'd expect with an infection more generally. So a high temperature, things like vomiting, diarrhea and stomach cramps, rapid breathing, joint and muscle pain, cold hands and feet, paleness. And then if it gets more severe, that's when the tends to be when the rash might come out, which of course is that red rash that won't go away if you roll a glass over it, but also things like confusion, irritability, drowsiness, or even seizures and fits. So it's a potentially severe infection, but it can start more similarly to flu or something along those sorts of lines. So it can easily be mistaken for something like flu, a severe cold, or if you're new at university, then potentially even something like a severe hangover.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? We're seeing it around the university there. And obviously at uni, anyone knows, I mean, we're past freshers flu, but, you know, bugs kind of spread through university quite quickly.
It's quite it used to certainly be a very common occurrence that most cases were seen either with infants or with people going to university for the first time. The number of those cases has come down so much with vaccination programs that have been put in place against the most common strains of it. But what the thing with meningitis is, it lives normally in quite a lot of people's throats. But that bug won't always go on to cause an infection. And it's not always clear exactly what leads to one particular bug being the one that causes the infection. So people will carry it and they can pass it from one person to another, usually by quite close prolonged contact. So things like sneezing, coughing, kissing, that sort of thing. But it's when people go to university and they're mixing from all over the country that you suddenly find that people are being exposed to new bugs, which would be completely normal where you were living before you went. But now that you're meeting new people and having a range of new experiences, which may involve quite close contact, suddenly people are being exposed to bugs which for them could cause an infection. And that's part of the reason that people who are close contacts are treated with antibiotics, because it may not be the person who has become sick who has the particularly nasty strain living in their throat, but one of the people around them.
Yeah, and we're certainly seeing students over there being offered antibiotics, aren't we, on campus?
Absolutely.
Understandably, I think parents here who have kids over at uni, whether they're in Kent or elsewhere, there's some worry, understandably, that this is out there. What would your advice be to those parents in terms of, should the child be going to try and get a vaccination then for meningitis B?
So on in general, at the moment, we are recommending that anyone that hasn't had the meningitis ACWY vaccine, which is really effective up to the age of 25, if they've not had that, to make sure that they've had a booster. So anyone who is 14 years and over, if they've missed it, can have a catch-up vaccination of that. At the current time, the guidance around the meningitis B vaccination is that it's offered for predominantly babies, and it's offered at 8 and 12 weeks for babies. So they have the first dose and a booster. But those who are aged over 10 are no longer eligible. And the reason at the current time is because it doesn't work as well if you have it in sort of adolescence or young adulthood compared to if you have it as a baby. So it's not tended to be routinely done. And I do think it's important to be clear that meningitis is very hard to spread from person to person. It really does require that close contact. So although people may be going to university and having closer contact, the elements around this as an infectious disease is it doesn't spread like colds or flus or anything like that. It really relies on that close contact. So for people who are at university across the UK, obviously it's really important to be vigilant for the signs and symptoms and to be as protected as possible, but they're not at increased risk because of what's happening in Kent at the current time. Obviously, if they're at university, in the university that's been affected, then the advice that they are given there is the most important advice given. And of course, that is a situation which is continuing to develop. So whilst it's been identified as meningitis B, some have been treated with antibiotics, there may be a targeted vaccination campaign in order to give increased protection. But in general, I don't think there's a reason that the advice needs to change at the moment, although I know that is under review through the Joint Committee on Immunisations and Vaccinations.
And that obviously is a name of a body that we would know quite well here with relation to COVID-19 vaccinations. So presumably if they change that advice, then we would follow suit here on the Isle of Man then?
We would certainly look at what at any changes they were recommending and assess the suitability for any changes to be made here. Without them having announced anything, I don't want to immediately say, yes, we will absolutely do that if it's not practical or viable, especially if there is a planned rollout for that.
For those, and I totally understand what you're saying about the effectiveness of a vaccination, but for those whose kind of children are out of that age group that where it is most effective, as you say, and they want to get vaccinated, it's obviously in a private only capacity, really. You pay for this vaccination.
It is indeed. The kind of rate that one would pay at the moment for that private vaccination is about £110 for both doses, although that is based on UK information at the moment. So it may be that it's potentially a different price in pharmacies here. However, at the current time, the risk to island residents from this outbreak specifically has not changed anything. It is really important that if people are traveling to university, that they've got all of their routine vaccinations as much as is viable. But any decision about whether to go private for this is obviously down to the individuals. But from the perspective of risk arising from this specifically, it hasn't really changed anything for the island. So I think the most important thing is that people get their routine vaccinations at the time that they are offered. But at the current time, we wouldn't encourage people specifically to get a private vaccination, but the choice as to whether to get one or not remains their individual choice.
Just finally, just to make this crystal clear, I mean, obviously when anything like this happens, when there's kind of an outbreak of any sort of infectious disease anywhere in the UK or on the Isle of Man, obviously it does spike fears. But I suppose the headline here then for yourselves in public health is actually, don't worry too much. This is not something that we're fearful about at the moment here on the island or indeed further afield then.
Indeed. Meningitis, I think the single most important thing for your listeners is that meningitis is hard to spread. It's a relatively heavy bacteria that requires prolonged contact with somebody, and it's carried in the back of people's throats. So things like coughing and sneezing might be the kind of things that help to transmit it, but also kissing. I know that sharing vapes has been mentioned, but essentially you're talking about contact with their saliva or the fluids in their mouth and throat, which isn't something that happens too easily. You have to have quite a lot of close contact with somebody to pass it from person to person. It's not like the light viruses with colds or flus, where if you sneeze, it spreads out a long distance. This isn't like that. It's a short distance that it spreads. So the risk of it spreading from person to person is already low. So the risk to the island as a whole is very low indeed, because this isn't something which spreads in the same way as other infectious diseases.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.